Well, I don't know if you all know this, but my family is an outdoorsy adventure kind of family. Did you all know that? We like to do things like biking, hiking, sailing, and canoeing. It takes a lot of work, right? It takes a lot of work to plan and map and ultimately expend so much energy on vacation. You know, I know sometimes vacation is like hang out on a beach. That is not what we do. We instead do crazy adventures. But it's invigorating, and it's amazing to see these wonderful places. At least it is wonderful for the two parents of this household. I'm not so certain about the kids loving it. Sarah gave the thumbs up at the earlier service and confirms it again this morning that she is all in. But the 15-year-old boy, not so much. He is kind of done with adventuring so much. But here we are, planning again for our summer vacation, and we are planning to go again to the backcountry of Alaska in Denali. You all know Denali? Oh, it's beautiful. We went once before children, with my dad into the backcountry of Alaska, and it was very memorable because in the backcountry in Alaska, there are no trails. There are no markers for where you're supposed to go. You simply get a territory that you have a permit to, and you do your best to make your way through it and eventually get back to the road when you're supposed to. Well, I remember that first night that we went very well because we, again, did not have a path to follow. We just knew that we needed to get out of the woods eventually so that we could make camp. And it seemed like we were never going to make it out of those woods. And so we just kept moving. And I remember we set up camp and we were exhausted. We were so exhausted that we set up camp right on top of the blueberry patches, which we were expressly told not to do. But what else could we do at that point? We set up camp and we ate and we went to sleep. And then the next morning, when I finally came out of that tent, then I could look out on the world around me and realize how breathtakingly beautiful it was. Something I had not noticed the night before as I simply put one foot in front of another. This right here, this passage that you have just heard Erica read, is a beautiful, breathtaking passage. I meant to remember to get you all to just not read and to close your eyes and listen as if you were one of the disciples hearing this passage, because if you listen to all of it, it is beautiful and comforting and reassuring. Jesus is preparing them on the very night that he is to be arrested, the very night before which he is crucified, for life after his death, for life after the resurrection and ascension, when they are to be the church. And so he takes that time to reassure them of the promise that allows not just them, but all of us to push through tough days. And yet, I find it amazing that so often there is one verse quoted from this beautiful passage. Do you all know what verse that is? I am the way, the truth, and the life. And if it stopped there, okay, but then it goes on to say, no one comes to the Father except through me. And if you stop right there, it sounds like a test. It sounds like a tool to judge yourself and others instead of being reassuring. It's as though it's telling the story of a trip you go on and you only tell the day that everything went wrong. And you then don't go on to tell the story of the next day when there was redemption and joy and laughter at yourself. After all, listen to how Jesus goes on in this passage. Jesus then goes on to say, after saying, No one comes to the Father except through me. He says, if you know me, you will know the Father also. And then just in case these disciples who have been walking with Jesus for these last 3 years still question whether they really know Jesus, he goes on to say, from now on, you do know him and have seen him. In other words, this is not put forward as a test, as a question as to whether your faith is enough. If you really believe in Jesus, then you will be saved. Instead, Jesus is granting them words of reassurance, reassuring them that they do in fact know him, and therefore they know God the Father. And still, in all of their uncertainty and confusion, they push back against Jesus and they say, Lord, show us and we will be satisfied. And then Jesus insists, hey, I'm right here. I'm right here in front of you. And yet it is their human nature, and ours too, to question, to wonder if we're enough, to judge one another, to see if they're enough. But what if instead we could surrender to the beauty of this passage? We could surrender to the way of Jesus, to walk as Jesus walked, healing, feeding, teaching, loving, not to prove anything, but to delight in the gift that is this life. In fact, the Apostle Paul then doubles down on this message of Jesus. He says, rather than giving in to our tendency to put ourselves and others to the test, rather than saying, if you believe enough, then you will get to go to the prize of heaven. Instead, Paul says, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the excellence of him who called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. And then instead of saying, if you only have faith, then you will be saved, he changes that completely. He breaks down our natural tendency for if and then to make God's love conditional. Instead, he says, once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. I'll be the first to admit, the Bible says some tough things, some confusing things, and that actually needs to be, because the world that we are all living in, it's tough, isn't it? It needs to reflect the reality that we see. But overall, when you take a step back and read through God's word that is placed into our hands, you'll see that over and over again, God is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. And nowhere is that more clear than in the person and ministry of Jesus. So yes, we all have tough days. Sometimes we even have whole stretches of life, years of life, where we're not sure what we believe or even if we believe, where we're not sure where we're going, what path we're supposed to follow, or what we're supposed to do, and yet God has chosen us, claimed us, called us beloved. Be free and give your heart to each day that God grants you. For we know the way. We know Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. Let us pray. O God, you have called your servants to ventures of which we cannot see the ending, by paths as yet untrodden through perils unknown. Give us faith to go out with good courage, not knowing where we go, but only that your hand is leading us and your love supporting us. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.